Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Bootstrap Businessman, and I'm your host, number one best-selling fitness author, and favorite host, of course, that is Dale L. Roberts. And my boy, Kevin S. Allen from the Midwest. And guess what? We've got Kevin on the phone. He's on the horn. He's on the way here to the special location and studio today. Kevin, baby, are you there?
I am here, man. And you got to remember, you got to add international best-selling author to that title now.
Ah, man, you know, I was going to drop the bomb on everybody, but you just done spoiled it for me. Call off the entire show. But, hey, are you on your way to the studio right now, man?
I'm on my way. I'm on my way to the promised land.
Excellent, man. Well, hey, I do appreciate you making it on over here. So just to fill everybody in right now, what's happening is we are actually kind of flying by the seat of our pants here, because normally we have show notes and we have everything put together, and then the two of us realize that neither one of us actually scheduled the show. So if you're tuning in live to us right now, you're fucking awesome. We love really appreciate the support, and we appreciate the love. But hey, speaking of support, Kevin, man, tell people how they can be able to support our show.
Oh, man, guys, if you want to support us so we can help pay the bills here, keep the content rolling, keep these shows popping up 2, 3, 4 times a week, there's a link provided in the show notes, or will be provided in the show notes, that basically you can do all your online shopping on Amazon. Just bookmark that in your browser. Use that every time you shop on Amazon, and we know you do. So, and a little percentage of that comes back, helps us, you know, kind of pay the bills a little bit. Doesn't cost you any more money. Just helps support the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and also, folks, please make sure that you go take a look at our latest book. We released it last week. It's called Fail to Succeed. The 5 Mindset Principles to Personal Growth. You can go get that actually on Amazon.com, or we've made it easy for you. It's only 99 cents, fail.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. Once again, that's fail.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. And as you purchase that, hey, look, it kicks back more so we can be able to cover overhead costs for our expensive studio equipment and high cost things like that. And also, Kevin's got a very dangerous drug habit is. Oh wait, hang on. I wasn't supposed to share that out loud, was I? All joking aside, though, I really do appreciate everybody doing that. And the more that you're able to support the show, please, if you get on iTunes, you find us on there. Make sure you click the follow. So, in any event, normally we're in my normal home studio, and you're over in yours. But right now, we're in a very special studio, and a very close friend, and actually close friends of mine. Kerry Haas and Julian Minaj, and he's probably going to correct me on that. So, hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, normally it's just, I'm like, I've got this microphone here. This is my good friend Kevin S. Allen. You're going to probably meet him here pretty soon. Kevin, say hi.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hi. Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're fabulous.
So, folks, awesome. Here's what I can be able to fill you in on these two. These guys are what we would say epitome of hard work ethic, bootstrapping motherfuckers, because they get on in there and they get dirty, they build businesses from the ground up. So what I need you to do is, I'm going to let you guys kind of hash it out. I need you to tell me about you guys. What is it that you do?
Go ahead, Gary.
Oh, wonderful. kind of what we do is we work for a well-established restaurant group, yeah. I guess you would say, in Columbus, Ohio. And we've been brought on as part of their team to help open up their businesses and make sure that they're running smoothly, that we're meeting expectations, that we're representing our brand as much as we possibly can, no matter how much the concept may change within that brand. So Julian deals with the back end of the house, creating the menu, the food, the feel, where I focus more on the front of the house, making sure that we're giving the best service as possible, making sure that front of the house meets back of the house and that everything is seamless and is driven as much as it can in the most positive way.
So, Julian, I want to hear from your end of things.
They're a little different. You know, in the back of the house, we're a bunch of pirates, and it's trying to create that nice bridge to prevent issues and just have as much fun as possible. You know, we are there to be the host of everyone's party, and that's sometimes hard to think about when you're getting your ass kicked and there's a restaurant full of people, tickets hitting the ground. It goes from one extreme to the other. Yeah, and still not losing the
passion.
Like your mission, you know, you can't lose sight on the goal when you have all these obstacles to deal with.
Awesome. So why don't we just take a step back? We've talked a little bit about the businesses that you guys work on. First of all, let me start with you, Carrie. What freaking got you into this business? Tell me about your backstory, because I know that you went to college for something completely different than that. So share with everybody where you originally started and how you got into this particular field.
I've always dealt with people, from babysitting at a young age to working at the local ice cream shop around the corner of my home. Just figuring out a way to enjoy what I enjoy and share that with other people has been something that really motivates me. And, you know, the cool thing about what we do is everybody's different. So every day is different. And you get to enjoy these different situations and play with food and play with booze and have fun with other people. I mean, it's a giant playground, essentially. And I just, as much as I tried to work myself away from that, going to college, finding a degree, I always found myself coming back to what I actually enjoy. Whether it makes you money or not is beside the point. You just want to have fun with it.
Yeah.
So that kind of just propelled me to, I can be better at this. I can do this. And I've just moved forward and tried to work for people with good business models, learn what's right, what's not right, what I want to do, what I don't want to do. And I've just kind of found this incredible lifestyle that revolves around perpetual happiness. You know, food and drink will always exist, and to find a way to do that and bring a smile to people's faces, I guess, mm-hmm. and be creative is really something special that pertains to both of us, which is pretty cool.
Do you care sharing what your degree is in?
I have a bachelor's in fine arts. I do nothing with it.
But you don't sound disappointed that you got a degree in something and you're pursuing something else. What would you share with somebody that might be, say, walking your path right now, that may be in the midst of getting a bachelor's in something that doesn't quite fulfill them?
I would say with anything in life, try to self-propel first.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get it from a book, if you can learn from other people, if you can be wise by nature, do that. And if you really can't succeed, you know, look for that secondary education. But I think there's too much emphasis on that in life, and
yeah.
A lot of things that I learned, I could have learned on my own. I spent a lot of money for what feels like, in retrospect, a very self-propelled degree.
Yeah.
You know?
But you can take one hell of a picture, though. That's
you
the
know,
thing.
And so can an iPhone 6. If you can push a button, you can do it. And I just wish I would have looked a little more for my own self-fulfillment before I looked in another place. But
Kevin, go ahead. I know you got a question, buddy.
Oh, no. I was just sitting here. You know, how long have you guys been doing this?
Doing what we do now?
Yes, ma'am.
So I've been working with Anna Creative for the past 5 years, but I've been in the restaurant industry for 16 in one way or another.
Yeah, I've been doing it about like 10 years, and I started from the complete opposite spectrum. I did not go to college, did not do well in school, and cooking actually saved my ass and kept me out of a lot of trouble, I think.
Tremendous. I think it's a great transition. We can probably go over to you, Julian. Tell us about your story. What brought you into this business? What you know, you said you had a little bit of a troubled past.
Yeah.
So obviously this kind of fulfilled a need. So what brought you into it? What drew you into it? And what got you propelled in the right direction? You got to bring up the billboard. Billboard. I gotta tell you, and I won't go too far, but we have to touch on the billboard because that's fucking awesome. Hey, Kevin, that's something I didn't tell you. Julian was on a freaking billboard here. He was in a billboard. Yeah, he's been on a billboard as well. So, Julian, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about your story.
So I started looking for a summer job and ended up washing dishes and fell in love with just the fast pace, the aggression, the ups and downs. So I've always worked in kitchens since about 14 years old and went on my path of just like self-destruction, abusing drugs at a very young age. I got very big into like aerosol art, but like the finer sides, if you can say that, murals, actually painting billboards, train cars, and ended up just trying to transfer my addiction, that love, the art, and started putting it onto plates instead of walls. And once I realized having that same amount of passion and drive and love, and sometimes for worse than better, the tunnel vision, it just like threw me to the top. So ended up painting billboards to being on a billboard, which is pretty cool.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah.
Very humiliating. Like,
so the owners were joking with us. They took pictures of Julian cooking one day, and were like, oh, we're going to put this on a billboard. And it was like, ah, fuck you. You know, we all like dick in the face. Yeah, right. Literally, Julian and I are driving to work one day because we tend to work at the same restaurant because we work for the same restaurant group. And we're driving to work in a very obscure part of town. And as we drive by, we both do the full 180 in our seats. Oh, my fucking God. We go around the block around one way. To do one more drive, I'm like, wait, no fucking shit. Are you fucking kidding me? It's Julian with two knives in the air, like, striking flame. It was like,
and he looked full GQ too. Yes. It wasn't like it was bad shot.
He's a good looking guy, so obviously people are getting wet as they drive by.
Jesus
Christ. I gotta admit, I was definitely wet.
That's fine.
But that was awesome. I mean, is that board still up?
Because
I know that you're not with them anymore,
board,
correct?
No,
we're
that's,
still
that's
with
the
them.
Sale. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's been a couple of years now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've been together for, we think, something like six or seven?
Seven years now.
Yes.
We've both been working for A&R for four-ish?
Yeah, I've been like 2.5 to 3.
I found them, and then I brought Julian in.
Yeah.
Because I'm a badass.
So, you know, it's funny. A lot of people will go into, say, a 9-to-5 job because they feel like they've got to pay the bills. Obviously, you guys could probably go and find other work somewhere else that probably pays you astronomically more, but for less time. Why this than that?
We're connected to it. It
yeah.
means something. The family we work for, the people that come into our restaurants, the food we put on plates, the employees we deal with, I think we're both very connected. We're both very emotional people.
Yeah.
And even if we maybe have days where we hate what we're doing, we love the people we're around. We love seeing a smile on someone's face, knowing that we gave them good care. We gave them good food. We did that. They enjoyed themselves because of what we've created all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It pays off when you see somebody enjoy themselves. It's his and my art coming together, and that's amazing when they enjoy what we can do and what he can do in one experience. They don't see it that way, but we do.
Yeah, I think for me, not so much for the actual customer, but the more intimate side is to actually teach, to be able to take young guys that are like me or worse off or better than I was, and
because you ran into all of that.
Yeah, to be able to pass that on, to be able to give people a chance and not have to spend all that money on culinary school and be in such debt just
well,
for
Well, Julian loves to teach.
Title,
in the end, he is a teacher, and there's not many restaurants you can work for that your opinion matters.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that Julian can be in a situation where his opinion matters and he can share it with people and bring people up, he just wants to give back what he's been given. Because he knows about culinary school, you know, he learned from people and he just wants to give that back. And that's really cool that we work for a company where we're not a number, we're not a name,
mm-hmm.
we're an entity, we're a skill, we're a passion. We're all of that.
Yeah.
To be understood, respected for that, and be able to do what you really love to do, pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
With somebody else's money.
That's always great. You're going to be able to work with somebody else's money.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you guys, you ended up opening, and this is what spoke to me most, and what could really fit into, you know, our particular show and our theme is you guys opened up a restaurant from ground up. And I think, yeah, that's awesome. A couple of these things. So, you know, gosh, you got to share your heartaches. Some of the things, because I know you said you fell asleep on the floor at one point.
I did.
Okay. You got to share. Cause I mean, sometimes people think that success happens overnight. And that you know, you can just go in and clock in and clock out. And
it happens
done.
Overnight as long as you're awake in the night. it doesn't come easy.
Right.
There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, take yourself through your last experience at any restaurant, from the cost of the front doors to somebody cleaning them, to the mats that you walk on that are directly after the front doors.
Wow.
Every fork, every spoon, every glass, every plate, every bit of ice, every soda, everything costs money. There's two sides of it. It's like this stage presence where you walk in and you're like, wow, that was a fantastic meal. And there's putting yourself with everything that goes on behind the walls that you see that make that experience. And that's insane amount of work. And that night I fell asleep on the floor. We were probably on our 28th, 29th hour straight.
Ooh,
and Kevin, baby, 28, 29 hours.
I was trying to feed myself what I was doing. I was trying to eat food and I fell asleep inside a cooler, like body habit. Because it just wasn't worth it at that point. But I did what I wanted to do. I opened an amazing restaurant that runs really fluid, and it all paid off. And that's a lot of what this industry is self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
You do it for your customer. You do it for your employee. You do it for everyone else.
I mean, if I can interrupt, the most important part is, while we're worried about all the cost and all the inventory and the way the machine runs, it's more gratifying when we've worked our asses off to put the culture in place in the restaurant, and you can leave and come back and it's still the same feel. That is just something completely different. You know, that culture, that connecting to people. Like,
you don't build it to have to hold it. You build it to be able to walk away.
Right.
That's tremendous. And that's why you guys have gone on to another one. Now, is there plans that you guys are going to be opening up other locations sometime in the near future? Is it going to stay within Columbus or is it going to start to spread out? Hopefully I'm not putting you guys on the spot.
No, you're not.
No.
Good reason why I didn't ask you guys these questions earlier, because I was like, well, this is going to be good for later on the show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, I mean, it's not our money. We work with other people's money. So we go where
our
they decide
we
need to go. We've kind of hit a plateau, I think, company-wide, where we really want to take a step back and look at what we have created and figure out how to tweak it to make it the best it can be before we continue to grow and take on more than we can chew. Let's take what we do and let's do it fucking brilliantly before we take on something else.
And it's hard because we are such, like, farm-to-table restaurants. We work with, like, a couple of restaurants have, like, 60 taps. Like, 20 to 30 of them are from, like, Ohio. So it's a lot of, like, local sourcing. It's very hard. And to be able to expand with that farm-to-table to another city is something that is not as easy as just, like, reprinting the same, like, painting, you know?
Yeah. So you got to make all new connections if you're going into another town and such.
Yeah.
Kevin, I think you can probably speak to this since, you know, you're kind of you're essentially a traveling man. You got to go to different towns and build your different businesses. Can you kind of relate to this and see how you can kind of connect, you know, how difficult it would be for them to start a new restaurant in another town?
Oh, absolutely. Because every town that you go into, I mean, they've got their own culture. You know, in every town, every city you go into, different areas. So, I mean, you have to learn on the fly to adapt to their culture and, you know, and create something from that that means something to them, but yet has your passion rolled into it. So, yeah, I definitely can understand. farm to table, you know, that is amazing. I love hearing that you're using a lot of local, you know, merchants and also, you know, farmers and, you know, for your restaurants. That, to me, that is fantastic. If anybody's listening to this, that's huge, because what you're doing is you're creating an economic growth in that area. So, I mean, that's huge. Hats
one of our mottos actually is to keep our money within our zip code. So we can actually honestly say with a lot of pride that 90% of our menus, and we have 13 establishments, is completely locally sourced out of Ohio. If we can't source out of Ohio, then we look to Pennsylvania, Indiana, sometimes Michigan, especially the bays when it comes to our seafood. But none of our restaurants have microwaves. They don't have freezers.
Microwaves? You guys, that's insane. You don't have that?
we get fresh food delivered 6 times a week.
So I can't get a fresh hot pocket at your restaurant?
You can get it lava hot, boiling. It will burn your mouth. It'll be lovely.
So, I mean, this is a great point for us to stick on. I mean, I imagine you guys could probably save money if you just ordered from other, you know, vendors, you know.
What we do, don't get us wrong, we dealt with a lot of grief with people seeing a GFS truck in front of your restaurant and saying, oh, you said you were local.
Even if it's
you tell me where we can get local gloves and local toilet paper and local olive oil. You let me know and we'll do that. I mean, there definitely is a compromise you have to make.
Yeah.
You can only get so much shit local.
Yeah.
What we say is we source as locally as possible.
Yeah.
And we do our best to do that.
Hence the 90% of the business you guys are ordering within.
But you tell me where you're going to get bananas in Ohio.
Banana, Kevin, don't you got banana trees in your backyard,
Kevin,
buddy?
I do. I have a few.
Yes. Dude, I think that we just officially brought up blowjobs the first time on the show. Congratulations.
My name's Carrie.
Nice. I've been wanting to bring it up for a long time, but, you know, I've just been kind of conservative with it. So.
Well, excellent. You know, we still got much airtime to cover, man, so I know that we need to kind of get some more questions out here. So, dude, fire away, and if there's anybody that's on and listening to us live, feel free to call in to our guest call-in line at 929-477-2195. Once again, that's 929-477-2195. And you can feel free to talk to our guests, Carrie and Julian. And so, I bought you some time. I know you got some questions. Let's hear it, buddy.
Well, you know, what I hear, and I, honestly, I love this. I hear a lot of passion and enthusiasm talking about that, but let's look at the flip side of that. Have there ever been moments, you know, where you're just like, you know, I'm done with this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've worked.
He wants to know how we feel every day.
I've worked 25 hours straight, got 3 hours of sleep just for a new menu change, and then
we sleep in restaurants when we open them.
Yeah,
that's a real thing.
So we put the menu towards the public. We dropped it live, and everyone hated it because, like you said, you have to have your ear to the ground. You have to be aware of your demographic, the culture.
You never know.
You know, and we were trying to go more of like East Coast tapas, small plates, still locally sourced. We lost sight of like what we were, like what the neighborhood,
what they
the restaurant
for.
Was, what the customers were looking for. And we completely flopped and had to do it over again and still stick to the more approachable using local ingredients. And
it drains you, is what he's getting at.
Yeah,
if you hit a point where you feel like I'm no longer doing this for me, I'm doing this for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly makes you question, but what the fuck else are we going to do? You know, you have to draw back and everything, and there's nowhere else where we're going to get this outlet of creativity and passion. And
you've got to have balls, but you still have to be aware and not have more pride than balls, because at the end of the day, you have to make that dollar. You have to have your regulars. You can't be that once a month destination. You have to be that a couple times a week. to make the profit.
But you can't overchange, you know. In the end, I can make you a cheeseburger. You might hate it. Dale might love it.
Yeah.
But am I going to constantly change my cheeseburger for who likes it or who hates it, or am I going to be proud of my cheeseburger? And that's what it comes down to, is finding yourself. And when you think about what food is and how many people there are and how many palates they are and what it means to stand by yourself and say, this is what the fuck I do, and that's it, you can hit the brick. That's hard.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to say, see you fucking later, you know?
Now, you guys probably didn't just open up your doors and then people started come flooding in.
No, that's exactly what happened.
Is it? Wow.
That is exactly
how what did happened. You guys drive people in? I mean, what was the deal? Was it a good location? Was it just word of mouth? Was it lots of advertisement? Walk me through the process of getting butts in the seats, as I like to say.
We've been really fortunate since it's not our money. We work for another company, but it's a lot of publicity.
Okay.
A lot of, I call them sneak peeks, of little pictures here and there on public media, just letting people see a glimpse of what you have to offer. But we've also been very fortunate. We just recently partnered up with a part of brewery that already has a following and already has a demographic. But you just look to find interest. That's what we want. Whether people are interested, we have a couple locations. One that always comes to mind is the Crest. Whether you're into barrel aging, draft beer, craft cocktails, good food, local sourcing, we grow on the roof and in raised beds out front.
Wow.
No matter what you're into, we've got something that can suit you, and that's really what we try to do as a company, is find something to make you relate to us, which is a double-edged sword because you have all these layers. Mm. Trying to please a lot of the masses instead of focusing on one demographic. But if you can make that draw, if you can get everyone, no matter what they like, to become engaged, now you've opened up a floodgate.
Yeah.
A lot of profitability. Because no matter what you like, we have something for you. Going the opposite way of what a typical restaurant or business would see as a trend.
Mm.
We're not trying to find one thing. We're trying to find all the things.
Excellent. So you have continually, like, a diverse audience that's coming in for you then.
Yes.
Okay.
But now you have to make sure that you're on top of every single fucking thing that you do.
Wow. Spinning plates, if you will.
From growing to local sourcing. Like I said, like all those things I named, like you can't half-ass it. If you're going to do it, you have to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Nobody will be let down and be like, oh, well, they do all these other things, so I see why they suck at this. No, you have to be awesome at everything. You chose to do everything. You have to do everything well.
You can't half-ass it.
Right.
It'd be like me putting out a book with a shitty cover, but great interior, you know, or terrible interior, great cover. So you guys go for the complete package.
And it's not our money.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be real pissed.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And then, you know, up shit creek without a paddle, of course. So
yeah, that's one of the hardest things to make it seamless. Everything is like a homeostasis. You know?
Well, I think it's natural. If it were your money, my money, we would take it more seriously.
Right.
As serious as you take it, you can never take it as serious when it comes to your money.
Absolutely.
I feel.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's an investment. It's that personal investment.
Right.
It sure seems like you guys do take it as seriously as your own, because it seems like it's your baby.
Right.
Like anytime that you walk away from there. So you guys are actually taking three rare days off for yourselves, which congratulations on that.
I've gotten 18 phone calls, 10 text messages, and 24 emails in the last 12 hours.
How do you handle that on your days off?
I ignore it.
You ignore it.
I swear to God.
You
just got
to
shut it off.
I have to separate it.
No, I mean, this is definitely a great lesson for us to share with everybody. Why? Because sometimes, here's the thing is, and Kelly always kind of cracks me on this one is, I can't shut it off sometimes. And in order for me to shut it off, I shut off my phone, I got to shut off my computer, I got to put it off to the side. So why do people need to disconnect every now and then?
You're going to drive yourself insane.
You're going to
I mean, there's just not going to be enough time to where you can even breathe. Or like, for me, it affects like everything I do. I'm so tunnel vision to where I don't feed myself, or I overeat, or from one extreme to the other. Or I neglect my partner, or I don't take my dogs out and give them the attention they need. It just like really affects everything, and it's hard because you get so caught up because that machine never stops running that you look a month, 6 months, a year down the road, and you're like, what? Or like, your eyes open, you're like, what the fuck did I just miss? Like, I'm losing precious time with like beautiful people that are around me, and why am I working so hard? You know?
Yeah, that's.
Like, I feel nothing should be 100%. Everything in moderation.
Yeah.
I try not to take work, food, whatever it may be, nothing to 100%. Try to find the moderation where I can still be happy and accepted. But I have to have focus on many things, and it's always a struggle. Sometimes I put too much into work. Sometimes I put too much into personal, but I can't divulge all of myself into one thing. That's not going to work out in any spectrum of it, I don't think.
Right.
So I really try to ration it. And when I'm not at work, I'm not at work. I'm sorry.
That's what
I'm not answering 18 phone calls today, and I'm sorry, but if it were that big of a deal, I would know, and I'm not. I have to have a life outside of my work if I'm going to be able to give myself to my work. I need to be happy. I need to feel that I'm fulfilled in other ways if I'm going to go into work every day with a full tank of gas. I'm not willing to give 100%.
That's good. That's good. And it's wonderful. And this, hopefully this, anybody that's listening to this, and it's great because you guys kind of, I think, echoed really the same thing right there is, you know, you can't always go 100% on everything. You can have your passion-based businesses and such. Let's just go ahead and say that this was a 9-to-5 job, okay, that they were forced to do this. They had to go do this. You know, wouldn't you agree that if you were to do 100% towards somebody else's dream, that you would never be able to have fulfillment yourself?
Absolutely.
1,000%. So those 1 to 3 days that you guys would have off, whether, you know, 2 years apart or just, you know, weekly, that would probably be a perfect time to start like a hobby-based business then.
Mm-hmm.
So question would be, you guys are so wrapped up inside your business. What are some of your hobbies that you guys like to do outside of cooking? Because I'm going to tell you, everybody, like, and Kevin, you're missing out, dude. All I got to say is I've already had so much freaking guacamole dip. And what else did I eat today? Dude, you've been stuffing me full of everything here.
Everything.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Portobello.
Got some portobello. Oh, yes.
Some leeks. Some smoked chicken.
We laugh. That's what we do.
Yeah?
And we enjoy ourselves. We have fun. We spend it with, like, our loved ones and our new nephews. And just really enjoy, like,
and sometimes we even do what we do.
And not
say anything.
And
serve each other, but it's not the same.
You know, it's that, like, subtle, like, just, like, hum in the air when there's nothing being said. It's so nice when, like, our jobs were just, like, ticket machines and printers and servers running and customers asking and music playing and, you know what I mean? Like, it's a nice, like, time to just, like, enjoy, like, the air in our lungs, you know?
It's pretty funny, Kevin. You hear him. He's out there prepping food and he's singing songs. And I think I actually heard you singing Log earlier from Ren and Stimpy.
Yes, I was.
He probably thought I was like out there napping. I'm like, is he singing a Ren and Stimpy song?
Yes, he is.
He's sitting out there. Is that something you normally do when you're in the kitchen?
Yeah. Oh, it's a fucking pirate ship.
That was the element of what he does in the kitchen.
Nice.
He is insane in the kitchen.
I don't have to. You have to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to work these hours and I'm going to, like, put up with all the shit and all the pressure and all the weight and the consistency and everything, I'm going to fucking be myself. I'm not going to have any regrets.
You're the silliest motherfucker I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, I like to smile.
You do like to smile.
You guys keep moving further away from the computer. Hopefully you don't get quieter here, because I don't know if anybody can hear us.
Loud.
Kevin, can you hear us loud and clear?
How much time do we have?
Oh, man, I can hear you loud and clear.
What do you want to talk about?
Kevin, ask us another question.
I was sitting here. I'm just thinking about food right at the moment, obviously, since Dale's been talking about it. I love this. I love this so much. You're so honest and just raw about the business that you're in, and I love that. Because a lot of people, they kind of fluff things up a little bit, you know what I mean, to make it sound like, it's all unicorns and fucking rainbows and stuff all the time, right? But life, you know, having a passion-based business, just like what you were just saying, Dale, you know, and I appreciate that because it's one of the questions I had, was what do you do on your downtime, you know, and you answered that, and I just love it. What, I guess, is the – what is your end goal with what you're doing right now?
Yeah, we've been talking about it.
You mean, like, within the industry?
Well, yeah, and for yourselves, you know, is this something that, you know, 5 years from now, you know, you'll have a build your own company and have people running it for you so you can travel? I mean, you know, what is the, I guess, what is the end result for you, you know, with your business? And I'm not saying end result just like being done, retired, or whatever you want to say. I'm just saying, where are you going next within this business?
Man, I'm telling you, I see the wheels turning on these two here. I'm going to answer this. The two of them, they're going to set up to these other two businesses, and they're going to be set, and they're going to actually move out to Phoenix, Arizona.
You're
and they're
so
going to open
far
up
off
already.
Do you want me to talk about like our dream?
Yeah,
please.
I would love to.
Yeah,
what we want to do.
I love your vulnerability, and there's going to be some people
okay,
listening.
Okay, my dream, because I love Julian so much, I want him to open up a butcher shop. I would love to buy land and have a farm where we just raise animals and he slaughters them and I sell them. And I'm dead serious. We take on the other end of the spectrum of the restaurant industry where we're sourcing instead of doing. And I want to live in a really tiny house and just dedicate our lives to having passion for animals, to source to other people to do that thing. But then there's the other end of it where I just want to be wild. And I just want to be a fucking feed mad scientist opening up restaurants. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, but it takes a toll, you know? Like, doing what we do is not easy. Like, thinking of, like, the downside. Like, yeah, I would love to open a butcher shop, you know, but I'm going to have more income than just being that butcher that delivers a nice locally sourced lamb. So, you know, like,
well, I feel like this is a double-edged sword to everything. I feel like the restaurant industry sets itself apart. If you're a nurse, you're always going to be a nurse.
Yeah.
If
you're a doctor, you're always going to be a doctor. As people in the restaurant industry, we really don't know where we're going to go.
Yeah.
I could end up being a bartender. He could end up being a line cook. He could be a butcher. There's all these things we can do. One thing's for sure, I don't think we'll ever quit the wave.
Maybe.
You would never be a doctor. I would never let you operate on people.
But I'm great with a knife.
No, you're not.
He was on a billboard with knives.
Same thing as a fucking cow.
We're always going to be us. We're always going to do what we want to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to see about accepting appointments now for Dr. Julian. He'll be seeing you.
Thousands of women.
Yeah. But I don't know. The guys aren't totally sold just yet.
And no one cares about them.
Yeah. Hopefully he's not a pecker checker. Otherwise, we're screwed.
No.
Pecker checker?
I'm pretty sure I saw them live.
They sound like they rock. Yeah, pecker checkers. They rock. It was a punk rock band, right?
They opened for all of us.
Maybe. This podcast is taking a turn for the worse.
We love you. Yes. Please tell me you're coming over.
Yes, dude, she totally whispered into the computer for you, by the way. Normally we have the
I'm a creep.
Yeah, well, normally we have like the large microphone and I can Barry White into
I
it.
I love the large microphone.
Yes.
I love Barry White.
Yeah, so at any rate, though, all right, so let's... Spirits are flowing right now, so Kevin, back on course, baby.
What?
He's lost now. He's driving all over the road. He's like, he's laughing his ass off. People are probably thinking he's texting right now. Which, rest assured, folks, normally we're he's not texting. Yeah, usually that's why I have this on. But get us back on course here, Kevin.
Man, I don't know if I have a big enough steering wheel for that. Let's see. No, the where I was going with that point is, mm-hmm. okay, you're doing something that you're passionate about now.
Yeah.
But you also have dreams for something else. Okay. And it's interesting and beautiful at the same time to hear that it's still aligned with what you're doing now. So this is in this is something that's internal. I don't know what to say other than the simple fact that this is beautiful. It is truly a passion-driven, I don't even want to say career. This is a passion-driven life for you. Not many people get to achieve that. Not many people actually ever really find that. So I just want to, you know, my hat's off to you, you know, and keep doing what you're doing. Huh?
So here's a thank you. Appreciate it. So here's a really good one I'm going to bring up for you guys is, all right, someone's in your position, say, from 10 years ago. What kind of advice could you give, regardless if they're in the restaurant industry or they're, you know, not, wherever they're at in life, they're at a little bit of an impasse. They don't know where to go. What is some advice you could give yourself from 5 to 10 years ago?
You get what you get.
Yeah. Just really, like, think through what you want to do for the next, like, year. 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, just put your heart into it.
Yeah, and just fucking
you can't
don't look back. Don't
care about what you're doing.
Just be aware. Don't look back and be aware. Yeah. Like yourself and your needs and your wants. And just try to like have fun. Like fucking life's short. You know,
be a happy
I mean? Like,
smile.
Life's way too short. Like just have fun.
People sometimes
love
be
it.
Like
love
the bad parts of us and are like, how do you handle each other? We laugh.
Yeah.
We laugh. Yeah. Life is funny. Nothing's a big deal if you don't make it a big deal.
That's good. That's excellent. Now, what about, I got a good friend, and I think she might be listening. She, here's something. She has issues with, she doesn't know what to do. She's at a point where she's not sure what makes her happy. Mm-hmm. How does she find that inner muse? How does she find that, you know, that passion, dig it up like you guys have? Because obviously, you know, did you guys stumble on it, or was it something always in you?
Step out of your comfort zone.
Okay.
That's what helped me. Like, I didn't like that structure of the restaurant or the kitchen, but like I found the positives and everything, you know, just like step out of your comfort zone. Just,
I would say the opposite.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I would stay safe.
Mm.
Think of the simple things that you enjoy and try to make them bigger than that. Try to find enjoyment of the little things that make you smile.
Like midgets?
Oh, Lord.
I think that was a yard, though.
Man, this conversation took a turn for worse.
Happy.
No smile all the time, all day long.
So it seems like you guys have like a yin and yang here, because you're saying get out of your comfort zone. You're saying get within your comfort zone, get to make it happy.
She's the one that like
no wonder you guys
keeps me on like the straight and narrow, because I'm the one that's like fucking swinging from the monkey bars with a bottle of whiskey and joint and going crazy. And yeah, she helps me out. She keeps me centered and she balances.
And he reminds me of how a beautiful life is.
Yeah, life is fun. But I need that person to also help me and push me and motivate me and fucking smack me in line every once in a while.
All right, I need a crazy story. You guys have a crazy, funny story from
working
the business.
Oh, my God, we have so many. Which one do you want?
I want some good shit. What about you, Kevin?
A finger blast?
Oh, dude, bring it on. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Within the restaurant?
The
finger blast? No.
Yeah, within the, we could do crazy stories all day, let me tell you. I can.
I don't know. Restaurant story?
Yeah.
You start.
Go ahead.
I don't.
Obviously, you don't need to say anything like you licked plates or anything like that. I don't expect you guys to.
Actually, no, we did not.
I mean,
absolutely.
A finger didn't end up in a hot dog bun or something.
Yeah, see, now they're like, everybody's like, where's this restaurant at? I want to go to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I've walked into servers blowing dudes in the coolers to, like, I mean, it's just, it's like the movie Waiting. People fucking pull each other's pants down to smack each other's assholes to whip dicks out. But, I mean, most of the restaurants. Most of the restaurants I've worked in actually have had very respectful cooks that do not touch food. Most of the restaurants I have.
We have to have a funny restaurant story.
So, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is there PB&D on the menus at any of your restaurants?
Oh, my God, no.
A what?
Let me hear that. What?
A PBD?
Let me hear it.
We'll just say that. Kevin loves peanut butter.
No, you got to talk about
it. Kevin loves peanut butter.
I like to spread peanut butter around for my friends.
PB&D.
Yes.
Peanut butter and dick?
I have a couple big dogs over here. You can come
Wait,
over with a PB&D.
Sourdough or rye?
Sourdough.
No, that's a serious
I think I'm going for rye. Mm. I'm going to go for rye. What about you?
I'm driving a truck right now.
What is Wiener?
Was it? No. What? What? Mom, no hands.
So Julian steps out and he's ready to go refresh his spirits. But in any event, I was going to ask him actually is, you know, Julian, you obviously didn't get to learn how to cook overnight. Who were some of the people that mentored you and how was that process for you?
My mama.
Your mom? Well, let's hear about it.
She's a badass woman. I don't have much else to say about that.
Okay.
She's Puerto Rican.
Okay.
I grew up eating a lot of comfort food with like Caribbean influence, and then my father was Syrian, so I grew up eating a lot of awesome Mediterranean, raw, fresh, a lot of different spices. So it was it was pretty cool. I was very fortunate. Got to travel a little bit. Yeah.
Where were some of the places that you traveled to, and also did she just teach you as you were growing up, or was it that you came back to her and said, could you show me this?
No, I grew up like in the kitchen. I was like a girly man. Like, I fucking loved being in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like going to Puerto Rico. My family's land is inland. It's in Utuado. So it's very poor, like corrugated tin shacks up in the mountains. It was coffee plantation. So it wasn't like the food that we ate wasn't like the Puerto Rican resort with like fried snapper and, you know, ceviche. It was a lot more of like squash and different roots and beans and rice and fried plantains, from yuca, which is a root, to bacalao, which is like a salt cured, like salt preserved cod that you would soak and then clean. So I grew up eating a lot. I was a kid that was made fun of in school for bringing like weird shit for lunch. You know, I would trade
as lunch.
Yeah, I would try to trade kids like kibbehs and lahmacun and cool stuff like that.
It makes me cry.
Because like I didn't understand, like I just wanted to fit in. But like now, like I'm just so fortunate that I was like raised like that, you know?
Yeah.
I was just like so cultured and I didn't even know it. And I thought like potato chips was what every kid ate, like fucking bland peanut butter and jelly. J&ID was like what all the kids like would eat, you know what I mean? So I felt like out of my element and like coming full circle. Like I'm so grateful that like I was just where I was supposed to be, you know.
So where you once were thinking, why me? And now you're kind of, it's come full circle where you're kind of like, fuck yeah, I was very blessed to have that opportunity.
Yeah, 100%. Like, shit, I wish I could still have packed lunches like that now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I took that shit for granted. It was awesome.
So you were literally just having, like, the, you know, culinary delight, whereas these other kids were having all these shit meals, and you're just like...
So, like, we paid money for that, you know, and my mom would make it. Like, my family would make that food for us, you know? Like, that's why, like, food is so close to me now, you know? Like, it's just, like, happiness and comfort and culture, and it's incredible to see like how one plate from one family that was raised somewhere else, and you know what I mean, it's just like it's still so close. Like food is like the center of a lot of entertainment, you know?
So are you able to do a lot of these old traditional Puerto Rican dishes and such?
I've learned like with like restaurants, like okay, what works in the restaurant, what people like, and then I like try to like feed them that. So like instead of a sliced like crispini, I'll put like a fried green plantain underneath for a vehicle to like do an appetizer.
Oh, genius.
So I try to like like put in that, like the sofrito with beans, you know what I mean? Like the stuff I put on your mushrooms tonight, like, I grew up eating the sofrito, you know, like I throw that into like my dishes because it's just dear to me. And because I might have to serve a cheeseburger every once in a while, I need to do that just for my mental sanity, my creativity, my, where I come from, you know, my culture. Like,
It's definitely a culinary art for you.
Oh yeah,
you should see how he worked the knife here, Kevin. It was just it was amazing.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I would have
cut off my thumb the way he was doing it, but he was able to get through it. And the funny thing is Kelly sometimes she'll watch me with a knife and go, wow, how do you do that? And I'm like, I just do. But I'll tell you, Julian will cut circles around me. But really, really good stuff. So. You know, hey, we're starting to get down towards the end of the show, guys. We actually have 9 minutes left on the clock. I definitely want you guys to get in what you want to get in. So are there any last words? How can people come and visit your establishment? That's probably going to be the big question.
Yeah.
Spokesperson.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, she's trying to be quiet. She's looking all coy.
Come on.
It looks like Urban's doing the advertising.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Stop.
Okay.
What? I supposed to say all the websites. You can check us out on any of our websites.
Yep.
That'd be awesome. But don't whisper it though.
Can I whisper
it? Yeah, please.
Oh, we actually have the web designer.
On the horn.
We have the web designer.
Bring him on in,
company.
Yeah.
How's it going, guys?
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing, man?
This is Donnie. This is the guy that's like the head of our social media.
All right, so Donnie, drop us the 411.
Yeah.
Where can people go to the restaurant at and get all the information that can get their butts over in those seats?
You can go to the Hoop Hearted Bar, or Hoop Hearted Dot Bar, excuse me. And you can go to the CrestGastropub.com, TheMarketIV.com. Any other ones that we're putting out here?
Is the Crest Parsons on there?
Yeah, the Crest Gastropub will take you to either the Clintonville location or the Parsons location.
Okay.
And I'm not sure any of the other ones you guys talked about.
No, that's good.
All right, cool.
And that's all within Central Ohio, guys. So obviously, if you find your tails on around here, make sure you pop in and say hi to Carrie and Julian. These two are just tremendous. Anybody that actually listened to any of our shows previously, Carrie is actually Kelly's middle sister. Kelly was on our very first special guest show. So, definitely go back to that old show. Listen on. And Kevin, you got any last questions, baby, before we start to do pay the bills?
Oh, man, no questions. Just, what time, what kind of vegetarian dishes do we have that are delicious?
Vegetarian dishes?
Yeah, what kind of vegetarian dishes?
At all of our restaurants or just tonight?
At all the restaurants or tonight?
No, man, at your restaurants, honestly.
We do a play on a vegetarian stir-fried General So's dish that's vegetarian. We're actually about to drop a vegan hush puppies at one of our locations. We do a kimchi panzanella. Ooh. Panzanella is like a Tuscan salad with bread that we toast with Brussels sprouts, cherry tomatoes, and then we make a cheese out of cashews and red peppers. That one's pretty awesome. We do like a creamy polenta. We use local edible weeds like dandelion greens, vegan black eyed peas. Like everything is awesome. It's just we try to make it vegetarian, vegan to where people don't even ask. It's just that awesome. So the menu's for everyone.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, you're probably going to have three, maybe four new clients on Saturday.
Awesome.
That's tremendous. All right, buddy, let's start to go ahead and wrap things up. I really do thank you, Julian. And Carrie just disappeared into the kitchen. I think she went to go catch up with everybody. But in any event, I do want to thank our guests for coming in today. Let's start to close out the show, buddy. So make sure, folks, make sure that you go back to our past episodes over on iTunes. You can also visit our show at show.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. Once again, that's show.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. Grab yourself a copy of Fail to Succeed, 5 Mindset Principles for Personal Growth at succeed.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. Once again, that's succeed.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. I gave the wrong address early on in the show. Kevin, take away from
Yeah, and also, hey, guys, don't forget to, you know, excuse me, bookmark that Amazon link that's in our show description for it. Bookmark that in your browser. Do all your shopping from there. And then also, you can find our podcast is now available on Stitcher. Stitcher.com, just under Bootstrap Businessmen. So we got iTunes, Stitcher, obviously on Blog Talk Radio. So, and you can find us everywhere, just everybody. Before the show closes tonight, there's a little like purple button. Just click follow on that so you get all
follow.
The updates.
Click the follow. Click the follow.
Follow button. Click
the
follow.
Click
the follow.
Come on, follow me.
Yeah.
Follow us.
Follow. Yep.
Follow.
Well, excellent. Very good. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, thank you very much for calling in today, man. I tell you, that's just one thing we always say is, man, you know, life's not going to stop for you, so you got to continue to go on the go. Get on the go. Work on the go. And we made shit work today, so that is just awesome. So applause for us. Applause. We get three people applause today. So, folks, thank you very much for tuning in.
You.
And on behalf of Bootstrap Businessmen, Dale L. Roberts here, and my good pal Kevin S. Allen, I want to thank you for tuning in, and join us on Sunday at 8 p.m.